What a year. What a year. What a year. Glory be to God. The Yoruba people have a saying. They say that he that knows how to reflect will know how to give thanks. You know, particularly for Nigeria, you know, people predicted all kinds of things for 2015. And here we are. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, this evening I have a message from the Lord for the new year for us, both individually and as a church and as a nation, and even, you know, on a universal basis. This is a year, the years are going so fast, you know, and it's very, very important. The Bible says that the sons of Issachar, which typify the prophetic, had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. And by the mercy and the grace of God, we do have a prophetic anointing as well as an apostolic one. And so we come to bring to you a prophetic word of the times that we're living in and what we expect in the year 2016. Amen. And more importantly, what we ought to do and how we ought to do it. The prophetic gives a revelation of what the will of God is and what it is. The apostolic goes ahead and gives the how. You know, that's why you find the apostolic anointing has a strong teaching element in it. Paul said, I'm an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. The year 2016 is going to be a year of new beginnings. Everybody shout, new beginnings, of jubilee and glory. It is the jubilee and the glory that is going to be a new beginning, that's going to open a vista, a new vista, a new beginning for us as a church and as a people. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and I'm going to be reading verses 1 and 2, maybe 3. Isaiah chapter 61, let's start from verse 1. Everybody read with me. Say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings, interestingly, unto the meek. We've been talking a lot about meekness, you know. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. If you've been bound, this is a year of opening the prison door. New beginnings, hallelujah. Verse 2. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God. Now, the Hebrew word acceptable year is the word jubilee. The year here is jubilee. You know, acceptable there is, it's not just acceptable. It means the jubilee year, the year of release. You know, I'll come back to that in a minute. You know, so this year, and as I speak to you by the help of the Holy Spirit, I am proclaiming to you that 2016 is going to be an acceptable year for you. A year of release. A year of jubilee. But, in addition to that, it's also going to be a year, the day of vengeance. A day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Next verse. To appoint unto them, I didn't hear you, to appoint unto them that mourning Zion. I don't know about you, but I'll be mourning in Zion. Mourning there doesn't mean miserable as such. It just means, you know, a discontent with the present state of affairs. A desire, you know, for the glory of God. So you're mourning because you haven't yet seen that purpose of God, that will of God in manifestation. And so we were mourning. Mourning also has a connotation of fasting, prayer, of seeking God, because you are not satisfied with what is currently happening inside the church. Another scripture, not this one, I'll come back to this in a minute, you know, we don't have to turn there, but you know, it says, let the priests, you know, weep between the porch and the altar. That's mourning. You know why? They say, for why should they say, where is our God? Says, don't give your people a reproach to the heathen, to the nations. And that's why we're, in a sense, in a state of mourning. But the good news is there's a new beginning. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. I didn't hear you. I didn't hear you. To give them beauty for ashes. So the beauty is a new beginning. The ashes is the old thing. Hallelujah. The oil of joy for mourning. So the oil of joy is a new beginning. The mourning is the old thing. Amen. It means as we go into this year, the purpose, the reason for our mourning will stop. Because God is going to turn our captivity. Hallelujah. By the jubilee, the release of his glory. Hallelujah. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they who, turn to your neighbor, say they who, those that are mourning in Zion, hallelujah, those that are praying, the word mourning there, like I said, connotes fasting, prayer, seeking the glory of God, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be what? It means that these people who are mourning, who be mourning in Zion, and who are dissatisfied with the present state of affairs, as they continue in prayer, and they come into this jubilee, into this release, into this breakthrough, so to speak, into this glory, that glory will now glorify them. And God will now be glorified in them. You know, by the manifestation of that glory. Now, let's put some understanding to all of this. Like I said at the beginning, sons of Issachar that had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. 2014 and 2015 were the years of the blood moon tetrad. And we saw everything come to pass as God predicted. Not only that, was it the blood moon tetrad, the last blood moon coincided exactly with the Feast of Tabernacles. Shared with us some months ago, you know, on God's appointed time. And there were three things were specified as God's appointed time. Number one was the feast. It says, you know, blow the trumpet on a solemn feast day, which is the Feast of Tabernacles. And then the sign in the heavens, which was the blood moons. And the blood moons and the feast exactly synchronized. That year, the year 2015 in particular, was a Shemitah year. The word Shemitah is taken from the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 15, which is that every 7 years there will be a release. So the Shemitah year was the seventh year, but it was seven sevens, in other words, 49. So the one when we began 2000, when the Feast of Tabernacles was fulfilled in September into October 2015, we actually entered into a jubilee year, into the 50th year, and we're in it now. Hallelujah. This is the year of jubilee. This, in the Jewish calendar, this year that we're in now, starting from September 2015 into this 2016, is a year of jubilee. And that is why it is going to be a year of new beginnings for you. A year of the release of the glory of God. Hallelujah. But it's very important, the Bible says we have understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do, to understand the time frame and the times and the seasons of what God is doing. You see, when God, I shared this with us some months ago, you know, about the fact that, you know, God God, I was talking about God's integrity and how God watches over his word to perform it. And God operates on the level of centuries and millennia. And if you look at the blood moon cycles, if you go to the NASA website, you will see that they operate over periods of 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years. So when you're looking at things on that time scale, you know, what is 50 days? What is 6 months? It becomes insignificant in that sense, you know. So what I'm saying to you is this. We are already in that season. We are already in the Jubilee. We are already in the time of His glory. And the thing for us, we must not do, the thing we must not do is to give up or to say, oh, what is happening? The blood moon has happened. We expected maybe the glory to come during the blood moon. In fact, if you look at the scriptures, and that's why it's very important to go to the Word of God and to find out not what you thought the Bible said, but what the Bible actually said. You know what the Bible actually said? It says it's going to be after. It never said it was going to be during. It says you will see. It says you will see the signs in the sun and in the blood. It says and after that. So we're right in the after now. Turn to your neighbor and say we're in the after now. We're in the time of the glory now. Hallelujah. We're in the time of the Jubilee now. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And this is to strengthen our hands and to encourage us. So in this 2016, it will be a year of new beginnings. New beginnings because of the Jubilee, the release. We're going to be released into new beginnings. We're going to be released into the glory of God. And that glory of God, we dispel this current darkness that we now see all around us. In fact, 2015 was a year in which both on the, you know, individual level, the national level, the church, you know, and the universal level, you find that it seemed as if the darkness got darker. 2015 was the year that they legalized same-sex marriage, the Supreme Court in America, which one would have ever thought would never have happened. And so many things, terrorism, ISIS, you know, terrible, terrible things, you know, that are happening in the world around us. And then on an individual basis and on at the church level, the level of moral corruption, spiritual slothfulness, spiritual laziness, you know, what I call passive and active witchcraft in the church, the so-called Babylon church, and so many things are happening, you know, that if you look, my wife said the other day, that if you look around, you know, we're asking for mercy, you know, you say, hey, when will this thing happen? And it seems as if, you know, it's even getting worse as far as the church is concerned, you know, and all these things. But I have good news for you. I said, I have good news for you. You know what the Bible says? Look at Isaiah chapter 35. I shared this with us a few weeks ago, and it's particularly relevant now. Isaiah chapter 35, and look at verse 4. Say to them, turn to your neighbor and say, God's talking to you. God's talking to me. Say ye to them of a fearful heart. Let's paraphrase that. Of a heart that could be discouraged. Of a heart that could be saying, God, when is this thing going to happen? God says, say it to them that of a fearful heart, be strong. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're going to be strong in 2016. You must be strong in 2016. Fear not. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will not fear in 2016. You will not be anxious. You will not worry, because it's going to be a year of new beginnings. God is going to give you the oil of joy for mourning in the name of Jesus. God is going to turn your captivity around in Jesus' name, because it is your year of Jubilee. Glory be to God. He says, be strong. Fear not. Why? Why should you be strong? Why should you not fear? He said, behold, your God will come. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is coming. Now say, God is here, but he's going to come in his glory. He said, behold, your God will come. And he's not just going to come out there, he's going to come with a vengeance. Hallelujah. But not only with vengeance, he's also going to come with recompense. Now for me, he's coming with recompense, not vengeance. Now for the rebellious church and rebels inside the church, he's going to come with vengeance. But for us, by the mercy and the grace of God, who are walking with God, and I'm going to show you how to do it in a minute, you know, if you're walking with God as you should be, you know, then you have nothing to fear. Amen. He's not coming to you with vengeance, come to you with recompense. Recompense, what means? A reward. A reward of what? A reward of his glory. Hallelujah. So he's going to come, but he's coming with what? Vengeance on one hand. And that's why, see, it's exactly the same thing Jesus said in that Isaiah 61. He says, your God will come with vengeance, but it's also the acceptable day. So it's a day of jubilee, a day of release into his glory, and at the same time, it's going to be a day of vengeance. Hallelujah. And so, the glory of God is upon us. So he says, here's the, your God will come. Say, your God will come. I didn't hear you. I did not hear you. Oh. He said, your God will come with what? Vengeance. Even God with a? And he will come and what? God is going to save us. Save us from what? Save us from the gross darkness. Save us from a church that has, I want to use the words my wife used I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, that has, you know, mortgaged its destiny for a piece of pottage. And many have. Many have. They don't care about the glory of God. They don't care about the purpose of God. All they just want are material things, and they have actually sold out. But since he's going to come and he will save us. Hallelujah. Next verse. Glory be to God. Okay. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. See, there are a lot of people who are spiritually blind now. But when God comes in vengeance and he comes with recompense, people whose eyes were closed before will be opened. You know, for years, I used to wonder about something. You know, a lot of this truth, and it is truth. Because you know why it's truth? You know, it's in line with the word, firstly, and primarily, and then secondly, it resonates with your spirit. You know, when you hear truth, you know it. Even when it has not manifested, when you hear it, that's what happened with Joseph and Pharaoh. Pharaoh did not know Joseph from Adam. He didn't know Joseph. Joseph hadn't done anything. The 7 years of famine hadn't come. The 7 years of plenty had not come. All he heard was what Joseph said. And immediately he heard it, he said, who else will have this kind of wisdom? How did he know? He didn't know because it had happened. He knew because it resonated with his spirit. How do we know the truth? We know the truth because it's in line with the word and it resonates with our spirits. Even before it comes to pass. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The same thing I shared with us about the first disciples, Andrew and John and Philip and Bartholomew. That all they heard, they didn't see any miracle. The miracle hadn't happened yet. There was no miracle. There was no Cana of Galilee yet. All they heard was what John said. Behold the Lamb of God. That taketh, and it resonated with their spirits and they followed him. How did they know the truth? By the word. And they became the first apostles. But there were six of them. Andrew, Simon, Peter, Philip, you know, Bartholomew, Nathaniel, and all of them. Six of them. They followed him to the house. They hadn't seen any miracle. Will you be like that? Those are the first of first fruits, you know. The people who will believe before they see anything. What believest thou? Hallelujah. What is your basis of truth? What do you what makes you know something is true? Is it because something has happened, or is it because God said it? These things are not cunningly devised fables. They are truth. When you hear it, the word of God, witnessed by the Holy Ghost inside your heart, it resonates. And that's why many times, when you hear it, you just say, praise God. Or when a man is preaching and you start to clap, you know what's happening? You are resonating. You are vibrating with what you just heard. It hits your spirit at a level that you say, you say, wow. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. The eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the days of the dead shall be stopped. There's a beautiful scripture. It's in the book of Romans. You don't have to turn there, but it goes along with what I'm trying to say. He says, this blindness is in part has happened to the rest of Israel until the fullness comes in. That's what he's talking about here. See, there are a lot of people in the church. They've heard about life scripture. They've heard about prayer. They're blind to it. They can't see properly. Sometimes it's not totally their fault. They've not been taught and all of that. But all of a sudden their eyes will open. Woo! Glory to God! And the ears will open. There's a whole army out there, even people who are not yet born again, whose eyes, who are dead now in the valley of dry bones. But they will hear the word. The wind of the Spirit will blow upon the valley of dry bones, and they will stand up a mighty and exceeding great army. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so this is the time in which we're living. And so it is an exciting time. We're in that time now. The blood moons have come. The feast has been fulfilled with the blood moons synchronizing together. And this is after that. And we're in that time now. And this is a time for us as individuals to begin to have great expectation of what God is going to do. So God's glory is going to dispel the darkness. It will also do something. Mommy touched on this on Sunday, and I just want to resonate with it and amplify it. This release will release you from grave clothes. It says loosen and let him go. What is Jubilee? It's a release. That's what the Jubilee is. So it's going to loose you from grave clothes. The grave clothes of a lack of understanding. The grave clothes of strife. The grave clothes of spiritual immaturity. The grave clothes of sickness. The grave clothes of ignorance. The grave clothes, of unbelief. We've been used to, not believing. Now you will change. All you'll be doing is believing. You've been used to sickness. It's going to change. It's going to be health. You've been used to poverty. It's going to change to wealth. New beginnings. Hallelujah. Once that grave clothes is removed, you'll begin to live a new life. Lazarus, when he came out, watch this. When Lazarus came out of the grave, he was alive. But he was bound. You're alive. You're born again. You're a child of God. But you're bound. With all kinds of grave clothes. But 2016, that grave clothes is going to be loosed. Now, watch this. When Lazarus was bound, he could move, but he could not move freely. Restricted. He was happy. He could move, but he couldn't move properly. But when the grave cloth is removed, the leg that could not walk properly will start walking properly. The hand will start moving the way it's supposed to move. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You're going to be released so you can walk in the Spirit as you should. You won't be hopping in the Spirit. You'll be walking in the Spirit. The Bible did not say hop in the Spirit. It said walk in the Spirit. Glory be to God. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. That's why this year is a year of release.
And it's amazing. Amazing, honey. Amazing. You know, it is actually, this 2016 is actually the Jubilee year. 2016 was the last Shemitah year. That's 7 times 7, which is 49. The next year is the 50. Glory be to God. So 2016 is actually the 50th year. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's your year of release. I say it's your year of release. I say it's your year of glory. God is releasing you into your destiny. Hallelujah. Fear not. Fear not. Behold, your God will come. And he will come with a vengeance. And he will come with a recompense. He will loose you so you will no longer hop, but you will walk. Glory. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. 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 Go back to verse 3. This is Isaiah 35. Oh my God. See? This is what you're going to do in 2016. Oh. Your head will no longer be bowed. He says, strengthen ye the weak hands. You know, when you look at what's going on, it's enough to make you weak. Hello? That's why we've been mourning. Do you understand? Why would this thing happen? God says, strengthen ye the weak hands. Hallelujah. And confirm the what? That's our hopping again. And when the knee is not well, you can't walk properly. He says, confirm the feebleness. Give me this in the Amplified. Strengthen ye the weak hands. And make firm the feeble and what? Tottering. You will no longer be walking zigzag. You walk straight. Are you listening to me? Because God's releasing you. That's what Jubilee. The word Jubilee actually means release. In Old Testament Israel, where the Jubilee, the 50th year, was when everybody who was in debt, everybody who had sold their ancestral land for money, that land was now released back to the family. It always stays only for 50 years. Once the 50th year comes and they blow the trumpet, that's what I'm doing now, I'm blowing the trumpet. Hallelujah. You know what? I'm listening to your inheritance. The inheritance that you never got, that has been taken away from you, it's yours. Oh. But it is in the 50th year, it's in the year of Jubilee, the inheritance is restored. So your full inheritance is about to be restored. What is that? The spirit without measure. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The spirit. What? My inheritance is not a car. My inheritance is not a house. My inheritance is not a piece of land. My inheritance is spirit without measure. And in the year of Jubilee, that is the year your inheritance is released back to you. You will get it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is the year of your inheritance. Hallelujah. That is what Jubilee actually means. Release. Everybody say, Jubilee. Turn to your neighbor. Say, I have a teaching anointing now. Yeah, turn to your neighbor. Tell them, say, I have teaching anointing now. Say, Jubilee means release into your inheritance. 2016 is your year of release into your inheritance, the spirit without measure. New beginnings. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And you know what's going to happen? Ooh, this one I'm so excited about. You can see I'm really, really, really penned up, man. Hallelujah. You know, for days this message has been building up in me. Been percolating actually for about a week or two, you know. I got it, and then you know, God will build up, and then mommy will just confirm a lot of things. But I didn't tell her. She all come to church, confirm, and so here we are. The year of new beginnings. Something is going to happen. Zephaniah chapter 3. You know, before
before I read this, Zephaniah, look at verse 10. But before I read this verse, let me just give a kind of an equivalent of what happened in the mystery of Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus was, as you know, a very prophetic person. He understood the scriptures. He understood what Israel ought to do. He was, you know, most of the times they call, you know, Jesus was an apostle, he was prophet, he was everything. But two things that he was called the most was rabbi and prophet. He was called, he was an apostle, he's the apostle, the high priest of our profession, you know, but very few people ever hardly called him an apostle. But what people, what God put in the hearts of people to recognize, he was called a teacher. In fact, most of them say teacher. Teacher, that's rabbi. Then the other thing he was also called was prophet. That he was a prophet. So he was a prophetic teacher. And that's what I want to show you now. And they show you the equivalent today in what I am doing by the mercy and the grace of God. When Jesus went to Nazareth, his home church, it was this Isaiah 61 he read from. But he read it rightly dividing the word. He opened, the Bible says he went to the synagogue, and then notice that this is his home church. This is where he grew up when he was a young boy, when he was 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So they knew him very well. All the rabbis knew him. Everybody knew Jesus because Jesus was a good boy. He went to church every Saturday. He never missed. Amen. The Bible says, as was his custom. Now, when he got to church that day, we call it church now, it was synagogue in those days, he took control. You know, Jesus was not a Levite. Those of you who don't know the Old Testament very well, that's why you need to understand the Old Testament. You know, in the Old Testament, you had three sets of Israelites. You had the ordinary Israelites, who was neither of the tribe of Levi. Then, in the Levitical tribe, you have people who were not only Levi, but they were also priests. Now, watch this. It is not everybody, of course, who is a Levi, because you're not a tribe of Levi. Jesus was not a tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. And Paul tells us in Hebrews chapter 7, that of whom nothing was spoken concerning the priesthood. Jesus had no business going to ask for the book of the law. He wasn't a Levite, and he certainly was not a priest. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't like Zechariah, who was, you know, of the order of the priesthood, you know. Only, watch this, Levites worked in the temple, but only priests entered the holy place. Every priest was a Levite, but not every Levite was a priest. You know, the same thing is today. You know, people who work in the ministry, but they don't enter the holy place. No revelation. Activity, no revelation. Levites, but not priests. Now, let me qualify that before people crucify me. Every Christian is a potential priest. He says he has made us kings and priests. Just like every Christian is a potential king, but not every Christian is a king yet. Potential is one thing, do you understand? Achieving that potential is a completely different matter. How many people know you are seated with Christ in heavenly places? Potentially. But it is the overcomer who now takes that potential and makes it a reality. He that overcometh will I grant to sit. Are you listening to me? Every Christian, this is not exclusivity. It's just that, and this truth has been suppressed deliberately to make nonsense of what God wants us to do. And just give us this blank thing, everybody is a priest. It's not so. There are things you have to do that qualify you for these rewards. That's why I call it reward. That's why he was encouraging us. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. To what? The churches. He was speaking to one church, the church at Thyatira, another church, the church at Ephesus, another church, the church at Philadelphia. Then when he finishes talking to one church, he ends it by saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. No, what I'm saying to this one church applies to all the church. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. So the Lord Jesus goes to Nazareth on this auspicious day. He's not a priest. He's not a Levite. Only the priests and Levites, do you understand, minister in the synagogue. Jesus takes control of the service. He walks right up to where the pulpit or wherever it is. He tells whoever is in charge. I don't know who he was. I have something to say. The man, by virtue of the anointing that was on Jesus, he couldn't protest. One, he knew Jesus is a righteous guy because they've known him since he was a kid. You know, Jesus doesn't break the laws. He doesn't do all those kinds of things. So for him to say that kind of thing, and then there was an anointing. So the man agreed. So they're going to go and bring the Bible. In those days, it's not like this book you have now. It's cruel. It takes time. Open until they found this Isaiah 61. So the Lord Jesus now stands up to his full stature. And then he begins to read what Isaiah said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For yes, and not at this time, Jesus was speaking this what's called present truth. Jesus was speaking in the present tense reality of that scripture because he had been anointed. He had been anointed at John the Baptist at the river. The Spirit had come upon him and it had begun to manifest at the Cana of Galilee. So he spoke with authority. Are you listening? He wasn't saying the Spirit is going to be upon me. He said the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Hallelujah. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek. Very interesting. Mom was talking about meekness the other day. Look, oh, the 2016 is a year of meekness. Oh. Because you know why? Meekness is the key to two things. It's the key to wisdom and power. Let's paraphrase that in a way that is practical. The more humble you are, the more wisdom you're going to get, the more glory and power you're going to get. For he gives grace to the humble. Then he says, my grace is, my grace is sufficient for thee. Then he didn't stop there. He said, and my strength is made perfect. In other words, it will run its full course. You will get everything when you are conscious of your weakness and you are really totally dependent on God. With the lowly. Says, learn of me, for I am meek. With the lowly's wisdom. If there is one virtue you must cultivate and maintain in this new year, it is the virtue of meekness. The ornament of a meek and a quiet. The word quiet there means you don't like quarrel. You avoid strife. That's why the servant of the Lord must not strive. You know? He says, in meekness, instructing them, you tell them the truth without fight. You tell them and then you leave it. The ornament of a meek and quiet. You know this Jesus was like that? The day I'm going to betray him in the night. And he said, you will betray me through your own. He said, you will. Okay. Change topic. Let's go. He didn't quarrel. He didn't fight. Peter said, I will not ever. Could you hear that alone? He didn't try to prove. He just dropped it and left it. It was 6 or 7 hours later. After Peter Tiwale, let me say it in Yoruba. You know, after Peter had denied him 3 times, the cock had crowed. First time, second time, you know, the girl said, is it Jesus? No, it's not me. Then the last time, the cock crowed. And he was, then Jesus just looked at him. Hello, somebody. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. Jesus didn't argue. When you know the truth, you don't argue. You just drop it. Meek people don't strive. They don't argue. You know why? They know the truth. You know why? They have wisdom. You don't. You're always troubling and arguing and argumentative. You don't have the kind of way. So when they tell you something, like he told Pilate, he said, "You have no power over me." He said, "The power is given for you from above." He said, "And he that has delivered me to you has greater sin." Pilate, you're not my problem. You're only doing what you're doing for political correctness. Amen. So Jesus, they bring the book. He's gospel to the page, you know, the heal the brokenhearted, etc., etc. Then he says, the acceptable, the word there is to believe. But Jesus just stops there. He doesn't go to the vengeance, rightly dividing the word, because he understood the times and the seasons. He never got to the day of the vengeance of our God. He stopped in the middle of a verse. Because the time for the vengeance hadn't come. It's our own time now that is the time of the vengeance. So, following that same spirit, I bring you this word. We are now in the day of the vengeance of our God. Now, give me Zephaniah chapter 3. This is now present truth. It's not only going to happen, it's already happening. From beyond, I didn't hear you. The rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants. Have you heard of supplication before? How many people have heard of supplication? Do you know what supplication is? It's a cry for mercy. Let's correct that. Let's make it more precise. This epignosis. It is a groan for mercy. That's why Bible says we groan in prayer and supplication. Now, he now tells us here, he says, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my what? Supplier. The people who are supplicating. Sometimes they don't say worshippers. Worship is a part of it, but what he's talking about here is not just worship, he's talking about intercession. He's talking about prayer. He's talking about supplication. This is not going to happen. It's happening as I speak. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my what? My what? My what? My what? Give this to me in the Amplified. Thank you. From beyond the rivers of Cush. I didn't hear you. Or Ethiopia, those who do what? Pray. Talk about prayer. Don't your neighbor say he's talking about you, you know. Ask your neighbor, are you from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia? From beyond the rivers of Cush? That's number one. Then number two, do you pray? You may be from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, but are you a suppliant? So those of you who don't know how to supplicate, start learning quick. We have to keep everything in its proper prophetic context. You see, one of the greatest damages that has been done to the church is taking promises out of context. They will just take a promise in Jesus' name. They will not tell you the condition. They will not tell you the context. And then they expect God to perform that word. God will not watch over your interpretation of his word. He only watches over his word to perform it. Give the Lord a clap offering. God does not perform your interpretation of his word. He performs his word. So it behoves you to go and find out what his word says. Not what you think his word says. Not what you want his word to say. But what his word actually says. That is what he's legally bound to perform. From beyond the rivers of Cush. I like that. Or Ethiopia. Those who pray to me. The daughter of my dispersed people. These are not Jews.
Jews are Gentiles. Yet he calls them his daughters. And he's dispersed. This is spiritual Israel. It's the church. Talking, look, I can imagine Zephaniah. This is even before Malachi. God, by prophetic revelation, had seen down the corridors of time that there were going to be a bunch of people in Nigeria from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia who will pray and they will call upon him in the third day. And the prophet wrote down with precision. So just like Jesus was quoting Isaiah 61, I am now quoting this. It's now. It's not that's going to happen. It's here. It's already happening. You and I were from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. You and I are suppliers. You and I are the daughter of his dispersed. You know what daughter there means? He's talking about the bride of Christ. The glory of God. Hallelujah. You know, if you go, I don't want to get ahead of myself. If you go to Isaiah 45, you will see the king's daughter is all glorious within. She has all her clothes are made of wrought gold. He's talking about the church. The perfect church. The glorious church. The bride of Christ. Not the body, the bride. You know, every Christian is in the body. But not every Christian is in the bride. The bride is the part of the church that makes up their mind to go into perfection and begins to act upon it. Not just talk, but have it in their heart and act upon it and then become vessels of gold. In a great house, there are many vessels. Gold, silver, wood, and earth. The bride is the gold. Watch this. If you go to Isaiah 45, you'll find that the bride is what she wears gold. But the other virgins who are following her, they are not in gold. They're following her, but they're not in gold. Let me add the word yet. Because everything is diamond. You see, these are prophetic panoramas. So there is a dynamism that is involved. In other words, over time, they too can become. Are you listening to me? All right. So from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, the daughter of my dispersed people will bring and present my offering. They don't have my money. Let me qualify that alone. Money is a part of it, but he's not really talking about money here. You know what the offering is talking about? He's talking about incense. He's talking about prayer and worship and intercession and life. Hallelujah. Thank you, darling. And life. Do you know, if you go to the book of Revelation and you see the 24 elders that are around the throne, the Bible says that each of them had two things. One, a harp, and then the second one, incense. Harp, worship. Incense, prayer. You cannot have quality worship without intercession. That's why you find so many places there's a lot of noise, but no worship. Most Christians are only used to altar court worship. Shout, clap, and that's fine. What's wrong with that? But you need to progress. You need to get to the place where you know how to worship God. Not only with your words, but also in the spirit. I will sing in the spirit. Then you even go beyond that and begin to worship God with prophecy. That's where David got. That's why God allowed David to bring the ark into his backyard in the Old Testament. Because he was operating New Testament worship. And that's why we are called the Tabernacle of David. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody here? We'll present my offering. Next verse. Verse 11. I got to move quickly. Hallelujah. No. Don't stay the Amplified. Go back to the King James. I'll tell you when I want the Amplified. Good. In that day. I didn't hear you. Turn to the other neighbor and say, that day is this day. It's not coming. I say, it's not coming. It's here. And now. Thou shalt not be ashamed for all thy doings wherein thou hast transgressed against me, for there will I take away out of the midst of them that rejoice in thy pride, and they shall no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. That's not very accurate in the King James. Give it to me in the New International Version. It actually says, in my holy mountain. Never again will you be haughty. That's what we're talking about. Meekness. You know what's going to do? God is going to remove the pride from the church.
Amen.
Let me say it in another typology. That way, he's going to remove the Saul. You know, Saul's major problem was pride. You know what the Bible says? That when you are small in your own eyes, which was the reason why he was chosen in the first place, but he did not maintain that meekness and lowliness of heart, and his heart was being lifted up. God said, I'm going to remove it. In that day, you will not be put to shame for all the wrongs you have done to me, because I will remove from this city those who rejoice in their pride. I'm speaking prophetically. This was coming. This is the vengeance part. God's going to remove the proud from the church. When I say the church, I'm not talking about the glorious church. The haughty. It says, never again. Watch that. That is a blanket statement. You know why? This glorious church that's going to show the glory of God will be meek. They will be like Jesus. They will be lowly in heart. And you cannot enter. You can enter the church, but you cannot enter the glorious church with pride. It's not possible. Because humility is the key to the wisdom and the power it takes to become perfect. So a proud person, there is a filter. You want to enter, like if there's pride there, it just locks you out. Until you humble yourself before you can enter. Except you become a little child. You cannot wise enter the kingdom. What's the characteristic of little children? Teachability. Very easy to teach. They are ready to say, yes, sir. Yes, sir. The proud say, I know. Who can tell me what? For I know. We know. For I'm not like this publican, this Pharisee. See, if you know, fornication is horrible. You know, murder is bad. But pride is terrible. You know, that's what the Bible says. He said, that's the thing God hates the most. Because it was what turned Lucifer to Satan. Thank you, darling. And it's the one you don't see. Because it's inside the heart. And it has all this outward show. They can even look humble. Some people are so proud of their humility. Look at the paradox. He's proud of his humility. He thinks humility is this outward thing. You know, I wear short sleeves, legalism. I don't wear fine dress. You know, I don't use gold. I don't use earrings. So I'm humble. No, you may be the most proud person. Because the Bible never says you shouldn't use gold anyway. So you're even not submitting to the will of God. That's true. It's true. God gave gold to Rebecca. Sarah. The mothers of Israel. The virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. Her clothing was silk and purple. The Bible says that strength and honor are her clothing. Amen. The law of kindness on her lips. That's a humble woman. How would she? He says she opens her mouth with wisdom. Have lowliness of heart. How can she open her mouth with wisdom? Yet she dressed well. And you look like a ragtag. And you are so proud of your ragtagness because you think everybody who doesn't dress like you is going to hell. You completely read the Bible upside down. Sorry to disappoint you, darling. Just repent and remove that haughtiness. Let me get on with my message. All those ones just jar out. Praise the Lord. Amen. On that day, you will not be put to shame. You know, we've done this. Never again will you be haughty on my holy hill. Next verse. Stay in the King James. Until I tell you otherwise. I will also live in thee, in the midst of thee, an afflicted and poor people, and they, these people who are afflicted and poor, doesn't mean that they are poor
physically, or you know, it means that they are poor in spirit. It means that they are humble. They no longer have any more confidence in themselves. Totally reliant on God. They shall trust, watch this, in the name of the Lord. They have come to understand that it's the character of God that's going to get them where they're going. So they have come to trust in loving kindness, righteousness, and justice. That's the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is not Jesus. It is Jesus. Don't misunderstand me. Do you understand? You know, you can use Jesus like a talisman. When I talk about the name of the Lord, I'm talking about the character. The trust in the character of God. Next verse. The remnant of Israel. Ask your neighbor, where happened to the rest? Why is it only a remnant? Notice the remnant. God has done a filtration process. It's the ones that are meek and lowly in heart that have gone through the filter that now become this remnant. Zechariah says 1/3. That's why it's coming with vengeance. The remnant of Israel, I didn't hear you, shall do not do what? Nor speak. Neither shall a what? Deceitful tongue be found in that. These people have tamed their tongue. They've used the blood, the word, the spirit, do you understand? And prayer to tame the tongue. That's why I don't do any iniquity. James tells us, he said, if a man does not offend with his word, he is a perfect man. That's why they do no iniquity. They have learned to tame their tongue by the power of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Am I talking to anybody? In the light of that day, they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. That's not surprising, for perfect love casts out fear. They do no iniquity. You can see how the whole scripture is interwoven. That's when you know that what I'm telling you is the truth. Exactly. It resonates. Right in this verse, you're enlightened in something. There's James chapter 3 there. There's 1 John there. In this Old Testament scripture. Am I talking to anybody here? Nonsense. Why would they not be afraid? Because perfect love is casting out fear. And how did they get perfected? Because they learned to tame their tongue. And I don't do iniquity. Next verse. We're going to get there now and close. Sing! Oh, daughter of Zion! Shout! Everybody shout here. Oh, Israel! Be glad and rejoice with all the heart. Oh, daughter, or if you're a daughter of Zion, shout! Hallelujah! Notice the daughter of Zion. Perfect church. That same Zion I spoke about in Isaiah 45. That queen in gold. Hallelujah. You want to ask a question? I did this many years ago, but the present truth now, like Jesus did Isaiah 61, that's what I'm doing now. Let me ask a question. What is the daughter of Zion doing beyond the rivers of Ethiopia? You see, you cannot interpret the scripture geographically. It doesn't fit. You cannot look at the letter. It will kill. It's not a literal, it's symbolic. Do you understand? Because geographically, the rivers of Ethiopia are far from Zion, from Jerusalem. Yet, you are seeing the daughter of Jerusalem beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Surely this is prophetic. This is God. These are a bunch of black people. Black. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Yet they have entered into the inheritance of Zion. And they are called by God. By the prophet. They are called the daughter of Zion. They are called the daughter of Jerusalem. Yet they come from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. This is where you know You know, when you study under the Holy Ghost, when you study scriptures like this, you will now know the Bible was not written by a man. When Zephaniah and Isaiah were writing, they didn't understand what they were writing. As the Holy Ghost, they just wrote it down. They could not. How can he reconcile beyond the rivers of Ethiopia with daughter of Zion and Jerusalem? There's no connection. Except by the Spirit. It's the same Spirit that made Jesus ask him. That's why I'm asking you. I'm provoking your thoughts. He says, who then is David's son? The Bible says he's David's son. Literally, physically. But then Jesus now asked him, he said, who then is David's son? He said, if David, in spirit, he goes to pick a prophetic scripture, just like I'm doing now. He goes to pick a prophetic scripture from Psalm 110. And then he says, if David in spirit says the Lord, Jehovah, said to Adonai, at my right hand. If David calls him Lord, how then is he his son? Selah. That's what I've just done. If the daughter of Zion is from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, how then is she a daughter of Zion? Except it be by the Spirit. For if he be Abraham's seed, then are you heirs. Come to your neighbor and say, I'm getting my inheritance. I'm an heir of God. Hallelujah. Even though I'm not a physical Jew, I'm a spiritual Jew. If you be Abraham's seed, then are you heirs according to the promise. That's how you can come from the beyond the rivers of Ethiopia and still be a daughter of Zion. Am I talking to anybody here? I don't know about you, I'm ready to take off. Glory to God. Yeah. Next verse. We're not done yet. Not by chinny chin chin. The Lord had taken away thy judgments. Who is he talking to? This is daughter of Zion from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Touch your neighbor, he's talking to you. And he's not talking to you in 1,000 years' time. He's talking to you now. It's present truth. Present prophetic truth. Am I talking to anybody? He has cast out thine enemy. I didn't hear you. That enemy is the carnal mind, the flesh, the devil in the air. We can't go into all of that. He's cast him out. Hallelujah. Yeah? The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee, and thou shalt not see evil anymore. Say 2016, you're not going to see any evil. I didn't say evil won't come. I said you will not see it. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. The evil will come, you overcome it. When he said you would not see it, means you won't experience it. Amen. It's not your portion in 2016. It's new beginnings. The year, the time where the church will be half evil, half good, half this is gone. We're entering our inheritance. This is the year of Jubilee. Release into our inheritance. Am I talking to anybody here? Oh, if you can sit down, sit. If you can't sit, stand. Next verse. In that day, turn to your neighbor and say, which day, oh? Say, it's today, oh? The day of the blood moon. The day after the blood moon. The day of the Jubilee. This day. That's why Jesus said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. I say unto you, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ear. It's not something that's going to fire up. It's this day. In that day, it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion, let thy hand not be slack. What did we just read in Isaiah 35? Exactly the same thing. Written by two prophets thousands of years apart.
confound the feeble knees. You strengthen the weak hands. What's he say? He said exactly the same thing. In that day, I'm saying to you now, as a prophet of God, in today, fear not, O Zion.
Amen.
Let not your hand be slack.
Amen.
Am I talking to anybody here? Hallelujah. Next verse. Glory to God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is what? Hallelujah. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. What did I preach to you on Christmas Day? Yet in thy dark street shall the everlasting love. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He's right. You know, he's inside you. In the midst of you. For greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Stop selling yourself cheap. He was safe. What do you read in Isaiah 35? The Lord thy God will come and save you. Can you see how scripture is represented in scripture? Can you see this is not a man? Can you see this is God? It's prophetic scripture. All I'm doing is I'm using the prophetic and the apostolic anointing on me to break it down for you. So you can see it clearly. Because you've read it before. But how can you understand except some man show you? He will save. And he will rejoice over thee with joy. And he will rest in his love. And he will joy over thee with singing. God is going to sing over you in 2016. Your life is going to be a song. You are the sound of my music. You are the song that I sing. You are the melody. You are the harmony. Praise to me. You are the mighty God.
You are the mighty God.
You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of all kings. Now I return unto you.
Now I return to you.
The song that you gave to me.
You are the song that I sing.
Message. Glory be to God. He will sing over you. You are the song that I sing. You see, we don't just sing songs. We sing the Lord. The Lord becomes our song. Ah, what a great year. I am so excited, darling. Next verse. He will joy over thee. And I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are thee, to whom the reproach was a burden. Next verse. There's too much. Behold, at that time, tell your neighbor, say, that time is this time. We have understanding of the times and seasons. We're in the time of Jubilee. So it is this time. After the blood moon. This after. That's what he said. Go to Joel. It is after. Then the Lord will come. See, the sun will be red, the moon will be black, and then it's always after. And that's exactly what it is. And at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee. Don't you know, all your afflictions are about to be undone. I will undo all that afflict thee. I will save her that halteth. The hopping. You're loose. No more grave clues. Hallelujah. And gather her that was driven out. Even the backslider can come back. Hallelujah. God is such a good God.
God is such a good God. Hallelujah. Even he that was driven out. You know, I preached that time on the virgins and seeking the Spirit without measure. He said, they were not ready. He said, the door was shut. I'm in the house. I'm sleeping with my children. They're in rest. They're already in glory. This one comes knocking. He said, even though he won't give it to because of his friend, but because of his importunity, even he that was driven out can still come in. Give the Lord a clap of praise. And I will get them. I was talking about you. Say, and I will get them. Praise and fame in every land. Oh God, have mercy. In every land where they have been put to shame. Everywhere you've been put to shame is going to turn to glory. Amen. Honey, this is particularly true for three sets of people. One, it's going to be true for the church. See, the church, we've been put to shame. People are asking us, where is our God? That's the truth, though. Amen. It will be true for Nigeria. Nigeria, oh God. Everybody say a country of great potential. But seems never to be able to get our act together. We will get it together. Through the church. It's the church that's going to do it. And then the blessings of the age to come, it will now percolate. It will now ripple out the rest of the nation. Hallelujah. 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 Then America, the United Kingdom, the nations that God used in our own generation, 400 years since the Reformation and the King James Bible, and then last 100, 200 years, America, you know, the great revivalists like Charles Finney, America has been put to shame. But God will turn it around. Revival is coming back to England. Revival is coming back to America. Revival is coming back to Europe. It will start from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, but it's going to spread there. Hallelujah. And the glory of God will come back to those countries. And all the things that they have done to some of their fathers will be turned back. Watch it. Glory to God. And I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. Next verse, and this is where I close. Well, not close the message, but close this portion. Say, and at that time, turn to your neighbor, say, this time. How many times have we read this time? In this portion of scripture. At that time, that day, at that time, that day, at that time. Present truth. God is emphasizing. And at that time, I will bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I will make you a praise among all the people. People will come and say, ha, this is our God. We have waited for him. You see, they will come to you in chains and say, surely God is, I will make you, of course. Instant photographic memory, instant language learning abilities, artistic, mathematical, musical, all in one, they will come. I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth. Watch this. When I turn back, what? Your captivity. Why? Before your very eyes. Before God is going to turn our, that's why it's going to be a year of new beginnings. God is going to turn our captive. We'll be like them that dream. Closing. How is this going to happen? Oh, Jesus help me. Woo! Glory to God. There were three things I mentioned at the beginning. No, I didn't mention the third one. I mentioned two of them. About the signs of the times. The Feast of Tabernacles synchronizing with the blood moons. But there was a third factor, which I didn't mention, which I'm going to mention now. I used to close the message. And it is this. The Bible says, Psalm 102,
And look at from verse 13. Am I talking to anybody here? You know, just for review, you know, for those who don't know, you can go and check my message on God's appointed time. You will discover that the sun and the moon, God set them for religious festivals before he ever gave the feast to Israel. Genesis chapter 1, verse, God is so great. He had planned things. So later on, when he was not giving Israel the feast, he said, this shall be the beginning of months. God already knew when the sun was going to be there. And then he put the feast of Passover and Tabernacles exactly 6 months apart. Every blood moon tetrad, once the first one happens, the other one's always 6 months later. Go and check the NASA records. You know, the NASA is the National Association, Aeronautic Space Agency, thank you, in America. You know, I didn't go to the Bible, and I went straight to the NASA to go and check that, you know, we're on solid ground.
Yeah.
Exactly. God is not stupid, though. So these things were already said. So that's been fulfilled. But there's a third thing, and that's where we're going to close with this. Psalm 102, verse 13. Thou shalt arise. Oh, you didn't say it properly. And have mercy upon Zion. What did Mommy Sarah tell us on Sunday? That's going to be the key for 2016. Mercy. There are people who have faith in their faith. I have faith too, but my faith is not in my faith. My faith is in the mercy and the grace of God. You've got to learn how. And you know, a humble, a proud person does not think he needs mercy. He thinks mercy is only for people who are perishing. You know, when you're in trouble and you're about to die, you say, God, have mercy on me. So you're shouting for mercy, say, Akilo Sheto Leto. In our language, that means, you know, if you're asking for mercy, you'll be thinking, are you perishing? You don't need mercy. You don't understand. Your knowledge is gnosis. It's not epignosis. You don't understand. The Bible says, by mercy and truth, the king is preserved. He has truth, well, he has the word. Thy word is truth. He knows how to pray. He knows how to speak the word. He knows how to do all that. But that word alone, without the mercy on that garden, will not get you to your destination. By mercy and truth, the king is preserved. It's the thing that preserves you long enough to become a king. Now watch this. After you now become king and you sit on the throne, the thing that's going to keep you there is mercy. Give it to me. Proverbs. Quickly, we're going to come back to it's Proverbs chapter 20, I believe it's 28. 28. Quickly. It's so important. Mercy and truth do what? Preserve the king. Without mercy and truth, you got the amount of obstacles through much tribulation. You to get to that throne. Ask me. I've been here for 30 years. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking, you know, just revelation knowledge. I'm talking experiential knowledge. If it's not the mercy of God, I won't be where I am today. That's why I don't have confidence in my faith. I believe in my faith too, but my confidence is not in it. And that's why you find I'm very meek. I didn't used to be, and I'm still learning. I'm not yet perfect, but, you know, because I understand that without meekness, I won't get mercy. And without mercy, I'm not going to get where I'm going. So when you want to fight me, shall I go to the Lord? Praise the Lord. I know where I'm going. The servant of the Lord must not stray. Because what is keeping me is mercy. I don't say that religiously. I tell you as a fact. I know it by my personal experience. My wife, my children, everything I have is being upheld by the mercy of God. And so it keeps me very humble. I walk with God circumspectly. Because with all the knowledge I have, and I have knowledge to the glory of God, and I can pray and I can bind the devil, I know all of that stuff is the mercy does not undergird it. It is not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, but of God that soweth. But watch this. And then his throne is what? Upholding. So after you get there, the thing that's going to keep you there is
long ago you were. Go back to Psalm 102.
Thou shall arise and have what? Mercy on Zion. Zion is a perfect church. What does a perfect church need mercy for? For the time to favor her. Yea, the what? Set time.
The time of Jubilee. The time of the blood moon. This is the time. Has come. The time has come. Tell your neighbors, the time has come. See, the time has come. We have the prophetic word. We have the feast. We have the blood moons. See, the time has come. And the time now. Verse 14. We're going to close very shortly and then pray.
For thy servants
take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. Another message for another day. Move forward. Verse 15. So the heathen, the nations, what we just talked about, will fear the name of the Lord and all the kings of the earth thy glory. We saw that in Zechariah, you know, in Zephaniah, where it says, you know, I'll make you a fame on all the nations of the earth. That's, you know, I've dealt with that. Verse 16 is my punchline. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Let me put that question in another way. That's why you need to meditate on the word. Like Jesus did. That's why I gave you the example. Jesus said, if David in spirit called him Lord. You see, when you are reading the scripture under the Holy Spirit, you begin to inquire. So I would inquire. Now let's ask this question in a different way. When will the Lord appear? When he builds up Zion. When will he appear? When will he appear? Good. If that is so, how is he building up Zion? At what point will the building up of Zion trigger his appearing? Thank you. As a scientist right there, there's what's called a threshold voltage. See this, they don't make them anymore, all these filament lamps, your fluorescent lamps. If that fluorescent lamp goes to, if it is at, in Nigeria we use 240 volts. If it's at 100 volts, there's power inside. Go and touch 100 volts, you will know there's power there. Hello somebody, it won't go on. 120, boom, answer you. Usually for Nigeria, I know you must reach about 180, 190. Brian, like I'll tell you, you know, 180, 190, 200, then it will go on. The power is there, but until a threshold voltage is reached, there is no manifestation. That's what's happening. That's where we are now. We are building Zion now. There are two things used to build Zion, the Word and the Spirit. Acts chapter 20, it says, the Word of grace, which is able to build you up, not for any purpose, to give you an inheritance. See, we're not just building up for building up faith, we're building up with a focus. The focus is the inheritance, the Jubilee. We're building up so that we can inherit the Spirit without measure. Are you listening? Then Jude says, praying in the Holy Ghost, building up yourself. We've been doing this. We've been praying all the across. Continue. You know why? We're going to hit the threshold very soon. Say, do I know the day and hour? I don't know the day and hour, but I know it's this time. Jesus, and I'll close it now, didn't know the day or the hour. It's one of the things that has humbled me the most. Jesus in all his glory. Spirit without measure. The Spirit was released at the baptism of John, but there was no manifestation. I'm sure Jesus himself was wondering, what's happening? Yes! The Bible says the heavens opened, the Spirit of God came upon him like a dove. There was a voice from heaven, which is in our own time. We've seen the sign in the heavens, the blood moons, and the prophetic voice, the prophetic word. All that has happened. The Spirit of God has come down. It's been released, but not manifest. No glory, no power, no miracles. In fact, problem.
The day came and the next thing is wilderness. Hello? You would have thought that as he's leaving that place, the first person he touched would all fall under the power of God. And the next, immediately after the baptism, as he came out of the water and as he began to walk home, people would just start getting healed and virtue be coming out of him, but nothing. God was building up Zion. Jesus went to the wilderness. What was he doing? Fasting and prayer. He was building up. He was building up. As he was building up, it was being tested. Loss of the flesh, pass. Loss of the eyes, pass. Loss of the pride of life, pass. Comes back, still very meek. Goes to the place. Behold the Lamb of God! Thinking John will follow him. John didn't follow. Went back the next day. Now read it properly. It was first day, nobody. Not even John. Next day, John said, behold the Lamb of God! Then Andrew and John, all they heard was that prophetic word. It resonated in their spirits immediately, and they began to follow him. Said, what do you want? What seekest thou? So I want to see where you live. Today that will be love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. That's where you want to follow now. You want to follow where they dwell in love. Hallelujah. He said, come and see. He said, come. They came. Then the next day they found Philip and then Peter and then Bartholomew and all the follow. And every day they go and meet him. Nothing. No power. No glory. Building up power. But then we invited them to a wedding. A ball. I have to say it in a way we can understand. Party. Don't get religious, folks. It was party. it was Jesus and his mom that were invited. But because his boys were with him, because you come to his house every day, you know, they're all coming and just sharing the word and building up. And all that. Well, my guys are here. We all come together. So everybody went to the wedding. No, the last thing on their mind was glory. You know, just they went on a social function. They weren't thinking about glory or power or miracles or anything like that. They were just being nice. It was at the wedding the threshold was reached. And then God prompted Mary. Mary didn't understand it all. But you know, there's something about God. Even your parents, people who don't even know God, who are not born again, many times God in his sovereignty, he will just minister to them. They won't even understand it. But that's why it's good to listen to authority. Even when you don't understand it. It was Mary, the mother of God, who said, I just got another text. I've been preaching this thing many times. I've never heard this before. It has just dropped. Why did the wine finish? Which was at that time. God! We need to fear God. God arranged for people to drink extra wine. Now religious people will get do anything with that. More people came. The wine finished before the end of the message. Because under normal circumstances, the wine will not finish until the party ends. The wine finished. And not only did the wine finish, how did Mary know the wine finished? Mary is there just as a guest. She's not the one doing the party. It's not, you know, if it's your daughter's wedding or your son's wedding, you are in charge of everything. You'll be going to the and all of that. You know, if you're a part of the organization, but if you're just a guest, you won't know. You just sitting where you're sitting. Somebody came to tell her. Or she just noticed where am I? Enough wine. Then suddenly,
would come suddenly. Suddenly it just hit her. Ah! This is Jesus' time. All these years, these 30 years, he has never said anything that didn't come to pass. I have watched him from when he was a baby to the carpenter. Something. If he says, if Jesus is going to rain, it always rains. If Jesus says, Uncle Matthew is coming from Jerusalem, Uncle Matthew will come. They've noticed that over the years. So she knew it was his time. So she now went to him and said, they have no wine. Jesus, thinking spiritually like me. On a spiritual level, yeah, I do. I'm talking in Nigerian language. This is my mommy has come. What is my business with wine and party? We just came here to be nice to these people. You know, what have I to do with thee? But Jesus never did anything without consulting God. So after mommy had talked, and even though he didn't agree in his mind, he now, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. He now stepped back and said, Lord, what are you doing? What's mommy saying here? Then the Holy Ghost said, it's time. You've reached your threshold. You've reached your threshold. So he obeys Holy Mother. Of course, the servants. Says, fill the water pots with water. And then take and draw it to the governor of the feast. It's one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. It is when it was in the jar, it was water. When they put the containers to carry the wine, it was still water. As they moved from the jar to where the governor, the high table, that's what we call it today. Do you understand? Where the chairman was, between that place and that place, the thing turned from water to wine. By the time they got back, everything was wine. When the man tasted it, they said, wow! The scripture says, and he turned water, and man, he had the glory, he had already, it had come. But he hadn't manifested. He said, and manifested his glory. And his disciples, the six boys that have been following him from John the Baptist, hadn't seen any miracle, but believed the word. He said, and they believed on him. The miracle only concretized the faith they had already had before they saw anything. Closing. And he says, notice this. That miracle, a great miracle. Try turning water to wine. Notice this. No flashing. No Shekinah. No brrr. No healing. Nothing spectacular on the earth. It was quiet. And then, how many people knew? Mary, Jesus, the six boys, John and Andrew and all of those guys, you know, and the servants. That's how it's going to come on. God told me, say that's how it's going to be. It's going to be quiet at the first. Later on, it will increase and all of that. But initially, it will just come quiet. So, says the Lord whom you will come suddenly. He will just come. In a place and in a time and an hour, you think not. So what must you do now? I'm going to summarize in two words. One, if you're not ready, get ready. If you're ready, stay ready. Some people are ready. Now, how do you know if you're ready? Very simple. Are you watching and praying always? If you're not, you're not ready. Very simple. Just stay with the scripture. Watch and pray always. That doesn't mean you're praying. I'm talking to you now. I'm not praying 24 hours a day. But it means, you know, once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, in all the ways, acknowledge him. You've made prayer a habit. The other day, I was talking to my children. I said, on your phone, put, you know, on your iPhone and that kind of thing, you know, put your alarms once every 6 hours. Just 6, 12, you know, 1800 hours, and then put it again at 0 and that. Let the thing just ring. Once it rings, you don't have to pray. Everybody do that 2016. Prime yourself, you know,
pray. I confess my sins. In Jesus' name I have life. Pray in the spirit. That's how you build up. Every time your threshold will start going up. One day it will hit the threshold voltage. And you will inherit the glory. Let us pray. Talk to God. This is the year. We are in the year. This is the year of Jubilee. As attested to by our Jewish brethren, you know, I subscribe to a Jewish website, you know. This year, this it actually started with the last blood moon in September. We are already in the year of Jubilee. The 49th year ended, and we are now in the 50th year. This is the year of Jubilee. All we're doing is we're building up by the Word and the Spirit to get to that threshold. That's where we are now. We're building up. So let not your hand be slack. If you are not ready, get ready. If you are ready, stay ready. Watch and pray always. Be like Jesus. All those weeks, 40 days, we don't know how many days after. You know, he was always in tune with God. He was always in tune. No, there were no miracles yet. But it did not change his resolve. You see, I'm learning and I'm still learning, you know, that what you should believe is what God said. Don't believe because of what you can see. That's what separated those first six apostles. They didn't see anything. They only believed the word. Peter was apostle number one, you know, later on, Andrew, John the beloved. These were guys who believed the word of God before they saw anything. What will you do? Talk to God. So we're going to 2016. We're gonna sing and then just pray. There's a song in my heart. We're gonna use that song.
And we are even prepared, made holy and clean by the blood of the Lamb. Watching and praying for Jesus' return.
City where
I confess our sins and so clean with the blood. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that has come to me today to encourage me and strengthen my hands as we enter 2016, a year of jubilee, of release into the inheritance of the Spirit without measure, a year of new beginnings. Oh God, oh God, oh God, strengthen my hands, confirm my feeble knees, loose me from every grave clue, so that I will walk freely, accurately in the Spirit. My God and my Father, I repent in my heart of every thought of discouragement, of unbelief, because I've not seen anything yet. Oh God, I recognize your word is truth. Your word is truth. And I thank you for this. And I will, by your mercy and by your grace, come to build up myself by the word and by the Spirit until that glory appears. In Jesus' name. Pray in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, let us be seated.